Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time, we're going to be looking at a legal case that really gets you thinking about the limits of prosecutorial power.
Oh, yeah. This one's a doozy.
It is. We're talking about tortious interference, aggressive law enforcement tactics, and a million-dollar jury verdict that was later reversed on appeal.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack here. It's a really good illustration of how complicated the legal system can be and how important it is to understand the balance between investigating crimes and protecting individual rights.
Exactly. And to help us navigate all the twists and turns of this case, I've got an expert here with me today who can break it all down.
Happy to be here.
So let's start with the basics. This case revolves around Anthony Conti. He's the founder of iMedia, the company behind TV Time magazine, and he ends up suing prosecutors and an investigator from the Nassau County District Attorney's Office.
Right.
What exactly did he accuse them of doing?
Well, his main claim was something called tortious interference with his business contracts. Basically, he was saying that the prosecutors, through their investigation, they intentionally caused his contracts to fall apart, which obviously hurt his business.
So it's not about whether or not they investigated him, but how they went about it. He's saying they went too far.
Exactly. He argued that they overstepped their boundaries and that their actions were designed to harm his business.
So how did this whole thing start? What sparked the investigation in the first place?
Well, it all started with complaints from route distributors. They claimed they had paid iMedia upfront for exclusive distribution rights to TV Time magazine, but they never got any magazines.
That does sound a little fishy. So the prosecutors thought maybe there was some fraud going on.
Right. And that's what prompted them to start looking into iMedia.
Okay. So I get that they had a reason to investigate, but where's the line between investigating and interfering? Like, when did the prosecutors allegedly cross that line?
That's the million-dollar question, right?
Yeah. Literally, it seems like.
Literally. Well, Conte's argument was that the scope of the investigation was way too broad and aggressive.
Okay.
You know, they didn't just focus on the route distributors. They issued grand jury subpoenas and started asking questions to all sorts of people. Printers who worked with iMedia, potential advertisers, the whole nine yards.
So they were digging into pretty much every aspect of his business.
Yeah, pretty much. And Conti felt like they were basically trying to smear his reputation and make it impossible for him to do business.
I see. So he's claiming they weren't just investigating. They were actively trying to sabotage his company.
Right. He said their actions were specifically designed to damage his reputation and scare people away from doing business with him.
Okay, so we've got a businessman who's saying the prosecutors are out to get him. But what kind of evidence did he actually have to back this up? Was there any concrete proof of tortious interference?
Well, one of the big things he pointed to was the behavior of the investigator on the case, a guy named Falzarno. He claimed that Falzarno was just incredibly hostile towards him, even from the very first meeting. Conte said Falzarno gave him this crazy strong handshake, like really squeezed his hand hard and actually hurt him.
Ouch.
Yeah. And it goes beyond just the handshake.
Oh.
Conte also said that Falzarno confronted one of the route distributors on the street and accused Conte of being a fraud right to the guy's face.
Whoa.
And then, get this, Falzarno apparently threatened to arrest the distributor if he told Conte about their conversation.
Wow. That's intense. It does sound like Conti is painting a picture of some pretty serious intimidation tactics.
Right. And his argument was that this wasn't just some isolated incident. He claimed this kind of behavior was part of a pattern, that the prosecutors were deliberately trying to scare people away from him.
But what about the prosecutors? What did they say about all this? Didn't they argue that they were just, you know, doing their jobs and following the evidence?
Of course, they absolutely did. They insisted that everything they did was totally justified. You know, based on the complaints they received, they said they had a duty to investigate these allegations of fraud. And any negative impact on Conti's business, well, they claimed that was just an unintended consequence of a legitimate investigation.
Okay, so they're saying they were just doing their due diligence. And if Conte's business suffered as a result, that was just collateral damage, not their intention.
Right. They said they weren't targeting Conte specifically. They were just trying to uncover the truth.
Okay, so we've got these two very different versions of events. On one hand, you've got Conte saying this was a malicious witch hunt. And on the other, you've got the prosecutor saying this was just standard procedure. So who did the jury believe?
Well, that's where things get really interesting. The jury actually sided with Conte.
They did?
Yeah. They awarded him over $1 million in damages.
Wow. Over $1 million. That's a pretty big statement. Sounds like they really thought Conte had been wronged.
It does, doesn't it? It suggests that they believed the prosecutor's actions went way beyond the scope of a normal investigation.
But I'm guessing the prosecutors didn't just accept that verdict and walk away.
Oh, absolutely not. They appealed the decision, which isn't surprising given the circumstances.
Okay, so the case goes up to the appeals court.
Yeah.
But before we get into what they decided, can you walk me through the appeals process a little? Like, what were the prosecutors hoping to achieve with this appeal?
Sure. So in an appeal, the higher court, they don't retry the whole case. They don't hear new evidence or anything like that. What they do is they review the trial court's decision. They make sure the law was applied correctly and that the trial was fair.
Gotcha.
So in this case, what the prosecutors were hoping for was to convince the appeals court that the jury had messed up, that there wasn't actually enough evidence to support that $1 million verdict.
So they were saying that even if everything Conti said was true, it still didn't technically meet the requirements for tortious interference.
Exactly. They were challenging the legal basis of the jury's decision.
Okay, and what did the appeals court think about that argument?
Well, as it turns out, the appeals court agreed with the prosecutors. They ended up reversing the jury's verdict and siding with the prosecutors.
Hold on. So the jury thought Conti had a case, but the appeals court completely overturned that. How is that even possible?
Yeah, no, it seems kind of crazy, right? But to understand what happened, we need to dig into the specifics of tortious interference. The appeals court, they really honed in on two key things, intent and causation. Remember, for Conte to win his case, he had to prove that the prosecutors didn't just harm his business, but that they intended to do so, and that their actions were the direct cause of those contracts falling apart.
Okay, so let's unpack that. Let's start with intent. Did the appeals court actually believe that the prosecutors were out to get Conte?
Well, that's the tricky part. They acknowledged that, yeah, some of the prosecutor's actions, especially Falzarno's behavior, it was aggressive, maybe even inappropriate. But they also said that Conte hadn't really proven that their intent was to mess with his contracts. They said the prosecutor's actions could also be seen as part of a normal investigation. Maybe a little overzealous, but still, you know, within the bounds of what's allowed.
So even with that handshake incident and the threats to the Root distributor, they weren't convinced those actions were proof that the prosecutors were trying to destroy Conti's business.
Right. They didn't completely rule out the possibility of bad motives, but they also said they didn't see enough evidence to completely throw out the prosecutor's claim that they were just doing their jobs.
Okay. That's intent. What about causation? What did they say about the link between the investigation and the breaches of Conti's contracts?
Well, this is where Conte's case really started to fall apart. The appeals court said the evidence connecting the prosecutor's actions to those specific breaches of contract was just way too weak. Like, yeah, Conte might have believed that the investigation scared off his business partners, but he didn't really have any hard proof to back that up.
So it wasn't enough for him to just say, hey, my business went downhill while I was being investigated. He had to actually show that the investigation was the reason those contracts fell apart.
Exactly. And the appeals court said that without more solid evidence, especially direct testimony from the people who broke those contracts, the jury's conclusion was basically just speculation. It wasn't based on actual facts.
So the jury might have sympathized with Conte's situation, but legally speaking, the appeals court said he didn't meet the requirements to prove tortious interference.
Right. But hold on, there's another twist to this story. One of the judges on the appeals court actually disagreed with the majority's opinion. They thought there was enough evidence to support the jury's verdict.
Wait, so one of the judges was on Conte's side. Now, this is getting really interesting. Tell me more about that dissenting opinion.
All right, well, dissenting opinions are always fascinating because they offer a completely different perspective on the case. And in this case, the dissenting judge felt that the majority was being way too strict with the law and that they missed some key pieces of evidence that could have reasonably led the jury to side with Conte.
Okay, so it's not that they disagreed about the whole idea of tortious interference, but they just had a different way of applying it to this particular case.
Right. The dissent really emphasized the idea that appeals courts shouldn't be too quick to overturn jury verdicts, especially when the evidence is complicated and involves conflicting testimony. After all, the jury actually got to hear the witnesses, see their facial expressions, and judge their credibility firsthand.
Right, the jury was actually in the courtroom. That makes sense.
Exactly. The dissenting judge felt that the majority didn't give enough weight to the jury's role as fact finders. They were basically saying that the appeals court shouldn't second guess the people who were actually there in the room.
I see their point. But were there any specific things in the evidence that this dissenting judge thought were especially important? Anything that made them think Conte had a stronger case than the majority gave him credit for?
Yeah, they focused a lot on Assistant District Attorney Wallace's interactions with printers and that class action lawyer. You see, while the majority viewed those interactions as just routine investigation stuff, the dissenting judge saw them as potential red flags. Like, maybe Wallace was actively trying to undermine Conte's business.
So, like, while the majority was saying, oh, he was just gathering information, this judge thought maybe Wallace was actually discouraging people from working with Conte.
Exactly. They were looking at the same evidence, but coming to totally different conclusions. The dissenting judge basically thought that a reasonable person, looking at all the evidence together, could conclude that Wallace went beyond just informing people about the investigation. They thought he might have been trying to actively sabotage Conte.
That's so fascinating. It really shows how much subjectivity can come into play when you're interpreting evidence, and how two judges can look at the same facts and come to completely opposite conclusions.
It really does. And that's why dissenting opinions are so important. They force you to think about alternative perspectives. They make you realize that there might be other valid ways of looking at the evidence.
So we've got a jury who thinks Conte's been wronged, an appeals court that overturns that verdict, and then a dissenting judge who thinks the jury got it right. This whole case is a legal tug of war. So what are the key takeaways here, especially with all these different opinions flying around?
Well, I think the biggest takeaway is that the legal system, even though it tries to be objective, it's still ultimately run by people. And people are subjective. They have biases. They interpret things differently. And they disagree, even if they're experienced judges.
That's a really good point. It reminds us that legal decisions are rarely clear-cut. There's often a lot of gray area and room for debate, even at the highest levels of the courts.
Exactly. And this case in particular really shows just how difficult it can be to prove intent in a tortious interference case. It's not enough to show that someone hurt your business. You have to show that they were actually trying to do that, that it was their goal. And that's a really tough thing to prove, as you can see from what happened here.
Yeah. It seems like Conte might have been able to prove that the prosecutors were aggressive, maybe even careless, but proving that they were out to get him, that was a whole other level.
Exactly. And that raises some important questions about the potential for collateral damage in law enforcement investigations. Even if an investigation is justified, the way it's carried out can have huge consequences for people and businesses, even if no charges are ever filed.
It's a bit unsettling, isn't it? It makes you think about the balance between achieving justice and protecting the rights of people who might get caught in the crossfire.
Absolutely. And this case is a perfect example of that. It shows how even in a system that's designed to protect innocent people, there's still the potential for harm.
So what happens next? Do we just accept that the appeals court made the final decision? Or is there more to this story? What should people be thinking about as we wrap up this deep dive?
You know, I think what really sticks with me is this whole idea of collateral damage. Even if the prosecutors were technically within their rights, their actions still had a devastating impact on Conte's business and possibly his reputation, too. It makes you wonder about the line between a legitimate investigation and causing unnecessary harm.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Where do you draw that line?
It's a question that legal scholars and ethicists debate all the time. This Conte case really brings that tension to light. On the one hand, we want law enforcement to have the power to investigate wrongdoing. But on the other hand, we also need to protect the rights of people who are being investigated, even if they end up being innocent.
So it's not just about whether the investigation is justified, but also about how it's conducted. The methods matter as much as the motives.
Exactly. And this case is a reminder that even when investigators are acting in good faith, there's always the potential for them to overreach. The dissenting judge's opinion really highlights how important it is to carefully examine the tactics that are used in investigations to make sure they're proportionate to the crime and that they don't trample on individual rights.
It makes you think about the power dynamics, too. Conte was basically going up against the full force of the district attorney's office. That's a pretty scary situation for anyone to be in, regardless of whether they're innocent or guilty.
You're absolutely right. This case really highlights that imbalance of power. Prosecutors have all these resources and legal expertise, while individuals often feel completely overwhelmed.
It's like David versus Goliath. But in this version, Goliath has a law degree and a whole team of investigators.
Uh-huh, exactly. And while the legal system is supposed to ensure fairness and due process, there's no denying that being under investigation can be incredibly intimidating and stressful.
So if we step back from the specific details of this case, what are the bigger lessons for our listeners? What should they take away from this deep dive into tortious interference and aggressive law enforcement tactics?
Well, I think there are a few key things to keep in mind. First, if you're ever facing an investigation, it's absolutely crucial to know your rights. Get a lawyer involved early on and understand the potential consequences, both legal and for your reputation. Because an investigation can have serious impacts, even if you're completely innocent.
So don't assume that everything will work out just because you haven't done anything wrong. Get a lawyer to protect your interests.
Exactly. Second, this case shows how important clear communication and documentation are in business. Conte's case might have been stronger if he had more solid evidence to support his claims, like written contracts or emails from his business partners, specifically saying they were pulling out because of the investigation.
So always get things in writing. If it's not documented, it's like it never happened.
You got it. And finally, I think this case reminds us that the legal system, while it aims for justice, it's not perfect. There are going to be cases where people disagree about the law and the evidence, even experienced judges. And like we saw here, those disagreements can have huge consequences for everyone involved.
It definitely makes you think. Even if you win your case with the jury, you might not win in the end. Appeals add a whole other layer of complexity.
They do. And it highlights why it's so important for us to be informed and engaged citizens. We need to understand how the legal system works, hold those in power accountable, and push for changes that make sure justice is pursued fairly.
Well said. This case might be over, but it brings up questions that are as relevant as ever. Questions about the limits of prosecutorial power, the importance of due process, and the potential for harm even in legitimate investigations.
I completely agree. It's a case that really challenges us to think critically about the complexities of the legal system and the balance between enforcing the law and protecting individual rights.
This has been a great discussion. Thanks so much for joining us and walking us through this fascinating case.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in to another deep dive. Keep those brains working, and we'll see you next time.
Dissenting opinions, they're always interesting, aren't they? It's like they give you a whole new way to look at a case.
Right, right.
And in this case, you know, the dissenting judge, they felt like the majority opinion was just too rigid, too stuck on the letter of the law. They thought the majority overlooked some pretty important evidence that could have reasonably led the jury to side with Conte.
So it wasn't that they disagreed with the whole concept of tortious interference, just how it was applied here.
Exactly. The dissent was really emphasizing that appeals courts, they should be careful about overturning jury verdicts. Especially, you know, when the evidence is kind of messy and you've got conflicting testimony. Because after all, the jury, they're the ones who actually heard the witnesses in person. They saw their facial expressions, heard their tone of voice, you know. They could judge their credibility way better than an appeals court just reading a transcript.
That makes sense. You can't really capture all those nuances just by reading words on a page.
Exactly. The dissenting judge felt like the majority didn't give enough weight to the jury's role as fact finders. Basically, they were saying the appeals court shouldn't just substitute their own judgment for the people who were actually in the courtroom.
Okay, I'm starting to see where they're coming from.
Yeah.
But were there any specific pieces of evidence that this judge found particularly convincing? Like, what made them think Conte had a stronger case than the majority thought?
Yeah, there were a couple of things. They really honed in on Wallace's interactions with the printers and that class action lawyer.
Okay.
Remember how the majority viewed those as just part of a routine investigation? Well, the dissenting judge saw them as potential red flags, like maybe Wallace was actually trying to sabotage Conte's business.
So while the majority was saying, oh, he was just gathering information, this judge thought maybe Wallace was actually trying to discourage people from working with Conte.
Exactly. It's like they were looking at the same scene, but seeing totally different things. The dissenting judge basically thought that a reasonable person, looking at all the evidence, could conclude that Wallace wasn't just informing people about the investigation. They thought he might have been trying to actively harm Conte's business.
Wow. That's pretty wild. It really shows how much subjectivity can come into play when you're interpreting evidence, right? Two judges, same facts, completely different conclusions.
It really does. And that's exactly why dissenting opinions are so valuable. They force us to think about different perspectives, to realize that there might be other valid ways of looking at the same evidence.
So in this case, We have a jury who thinks Conti was wronged, an appeals court that overturns that verdict, and then a dissenting judge who thinks the jury got it right. This whole case is like a legal tug of war. So what are we supposed to take away from all this, especially with these conflicting opinions flying around?
Well, I think one of the biggest takeaways is that the legal system, for all its rules and procedures, it's still ultimately a human system. And humans are fallible. We make mistakes, we have biases, we interpret things differently, even if we're experienced judges.
It's a good reminder that legal decisions are rarely black and white. There's usually a lot of gray area and room for interpretation, even at the highest levels.
Absolutely. And this case really highlights how difficult it is to prove intent, especially in a case like tortious interference. You can't just show that someone's actions had a negative impact on you. You have to prove that they were actually trying to cause that harm, and that's a very high bar to clear.
It sounds like Conti might have been able to make a case for the prosecutors being aggressive, maybe even negligent, but proving they were intentionally trying to destroy his business, that was a whole other ballgame.
Exactly. And this leads to another important point, which is the potential for collateral damage in law enforcement investigations. Even if an investigation is justified, the way it's conducted can have serious consequences for people and businesses, even if no charges are ever filed.
This is a sobering thought, isn't it? It makes you question that balance between pursuing justice and protecting the rights of those who might get caught in the process, even if they're innocent.
Absolutely. This case serves as a powerful reminder that even in a system that's designed to protect the innocent, there's always the potential for unintended harm.
So where do we go from here? Do we just accept that the appeals court had the final say? Or is there more to unpack here? What should our listeners be thinking about as we move forward with this deep dive?
Yeah, it really makes you think, doesn't it, about that balance, like how far is too far?
Right, like even if the prosecutors were technically in the clear, their investigation still had a huge impact on Conti's business, maybe even his reputation.
That's a tough question to answer for sure. You know, legal experts and ethicists, they're always debating this stuff. I think the Conti case is a really good example of the tension that exists in our legal system.
Yeah.
We want law enforcement to have the tools to go after people who are breaking the law, right?
Right.
But we also need to protect the people who might get caught up in those investigations, even if they turn out to be innocent.
So it's not just about whether an investigation is justified or not, but also about how it's carried out. The methods matter just as much as the motives.
Exactly. The Conti case, it's a cautionary tale, I think. It shows how even when investigators are acting in good faith, there's always that possibility of going too far. And that dissenting judge's opinion, it really underscores the need to look closely at the tactics used in these investigations, make sure they're appropriate to the situation, and that they don't infringe on people's rights.
It also makes you think about the power dynamics involved, right? I mean, Conti was basically going up against the entire district attorney's office. That's got to be intimidating for anyone.
Oh, absolutely. This case really highlights that power imbalance, you know. Prosecutors, they've got a ton of resources, legal expertise, all that. And the people they're investigating often feel like they're completely outmatched.
It's that whole David and Goliath thing again, except in this case, Goliath's got a law degree and a whole team of investigators.
Yeah, pretty much. And yeah, the system's supposed to be fair, right? To protect everyone's rights. But let's be real, there's no denying that being the target of an investigation can be a really scary and stressful experience.
Okay, so if we zoom out a little bit, what are the big takeaways for our listeners? What should they keep in mind after this deep dive into tortious interference and all the issues that come up with aggressive law enforcement tactics?
I think there are a few key things to remember. First, if you're ever facing an investigation, it's super important to know what your rights are. Get a lawyer involved right away. Don't wait. And make sure you understand what the potential consequences are, both legally and for your reputation. Because an investigation can have a serious impact, even if you haven't done anything wrong.
Right, so don't just assume that everything's going to be fine because you're innocent. You need to protect yourself.
Exactly. Second, I think this case shows just how important clear communication and documentation are in business. You know, if Conte had more concrete evidence to back up his claims, things might have gone differently for him, like written contracts or emails from his business partners that clearly stated they were backing out because of the investigation. That would have been huge.
But always get everything in writing. If it's not documented, it's like it never happened.
Exactly. And finally, I think this case reminds us that the legal system, while it tries its best to be fair and impartial, it's not perfect. There are going to be times when reasonable people disagree about what the law means and how the evidence should be interpreted. even judges. And as we saw in this case, those disagreements can have major consequences for the people involved.
It's definitely a reality check, isn't it? Even if you win your case in court, there's no guarantee you'll ultimately prevail.
Mm.
The appeals process adds a whole other layer of complexity and uncertainty.
It definitely does. And it underscores why it's so important for all of us to be informed and engaged citizens. You know, we need to understand how the legal system works, hold those in power accountable, and advocate for reforms that ensure fairness and balance in the pursuit of justice.
Couldn't have said it better myself. This specific case might be closed, but it raises questions that are as relevant as ever. Questions about the limits of prosecutorial power, the importance of due process, and the potential for harm, even in legitimate investigations.
Absolutely. It's a case that forces us to grapple with the complexities of the legal system and that delicate balance between upholding the law and protecting individual rights.
This has been a really fascinating discussion. Thanks so much for being here and walking us through all the twists and turns of this case.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And to our listeners, thanks for joining us for another deep dive. Keep those minds engaged, and we'll see you next time.